Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Lauren. Our pronouns are she, her, and this is Demythifying.
The podcast where two best friends talk mythology
Go off on tangents.
and hope to bring a little bit more forgotten magic to the world. Hello, and welcome to our 2023 Black History Month episode. Can't believe it's been a year already, but last year we started scratching at the surface of some African myths, and this year we wanted to carry on a little bit with that.
And as we said last year, we appreciate that we will need more than one episode to go deep into many of the African myths we found since last year. But we wanted to give you another little taste before we do that.
And as with last year, our main source is a book of African myths and legends edited by J.K. Jackson.
And we apologize in advance for any butchering or.
Anglicising.
Thank you. We apologize in advance for butchering and anglicising any of the names.
For today's episode, we're carrying on from last year. And where did we get to, Lauren? Do you want to give us a quick recap?
Oh my God, so it's been a year and a lot has happened since then, but we started with the Yoruba origin stories, how Maru gave birth to Oluran, the ruler of heavens, and there was the goddess Olukun, the ruler of Caesar Marshes.
I do know we talked about Obatala, the creator of human bodies.
Yes. So Obatala went to Olukun and asked to work on the barren earth. He made hills, planted seeds that formed trees, and he started to form bodies out of soil and clay when he got lonely.
I do recall that we also spoke about how he got drunk on wine and he made some mistakes. Then, when he sobered up, promised to be the protector of people with deformities.
Most people do worse when they're drunk, let's be honest. But he did do that in the story, yes. And the village he created grew into a city, and Obatala gave each man the tools that he would need. And that's pretty much where we got to. So, shall we carry on?
I think that's a great idea. Again, this is a story from the Yoruba people. Obatala lived amongst the humans for a good while, and when he decided it was enough, he climbed up the golden chain that was mentioned in the last episode. And a picture from My Yoruba Tumblr and ancientpages.com shows Obatala dressed in white. He's got a crown, he's got a dove, and he's got some tools with him.
I think the picture is stunning. And I love that there's a heart on
There's
his
two. It looks like
robes as
there's
well.
two.
One is covered by his arm. But yeah, it's cool. And he looks very ethereal and sort of divine in the white. I like it.
He looks divine. He also looks quite royal. Maybe that's the crown.
And the jewelry as well.
Hearing Obatala's stories, the other gods grew curious and wanted to visit Earth to see for themselves. They pretty much wanted to see what all the fuss was about and decided that they wanted to descend from the sky and live in this place that Obatala had raved about. Before they descended, he took each of the gods aside and said to them they were to ha each have a special role and a duty for the human race. May they not forget this, and may they always answer prayers and help people when they were in need. The goddess Olokun, ruler of the seas, wasn't best pleased with this. She saw it as an insult that the other deities arrived in her domain and began divvying up land between themselves. She wanted Obatala to pay for this insult of not consulting her before this started to happen. The goddess commanded the great waves of her ocean to rise up and completely flood the land that Obatala had created. Crops were destroyed and thousands of people were swept away as the land was submerged. People fled to the hills to call for Obatala's help, but he couldn't hear them back in his home in the sky. So Eshu was one of the recently descended gods, and the people turned to him when they couldn't get a response from Obatala. Eshu, I have found in my research, is considered many things, and one of those things is a messenger god between humans and the gods. The people asked Eshu to go back to the skies and pass on their message to Obatala. He responded that they should make a sacrifice and pray hard to be saved. The people went away and they sacrificed a goat, but Eshu was not happy. He said to them that they had asked him to quote, and I quote, perform a great service, and yet you do not offer to reward me. If I am to be your messenger, I too deserve a gift. So the people got together and offered him more sacrificial rewards. And once he was happy, he climbed the golden chain to see Obatala in the sky. The message of the floods that Olokun had sent distressed Obatala. However, he didn't know what to do. So he went once again to consult Orun Miller. And Orun Miller consulted his divining nuts that he had in the last episode and told Obatala to stay in the sky as he will go down and help. So he scuttles down the gold chain and using his powers controlled the waters, bringing the waves under control until the lands were dry again. The people rejoiced and called the god their protector. Orun Miller had zero desire to stay on the earth amongst the people, but before he departed, he passed on some of his gifts to them.
What gifts did he leave them with?
He taught them how to divine the future and to control unseen forces of nature. And each generation then passed these skills down, and the gifts that Orun Miller passed down to them kept going through each generation.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to very briefly touch on the topic of floods in myth, because it's so interesting that across cultures, there's a myth of floods wiping out everything and almost starting again. And there's actually a wiki article, which now we're not going to list every country that has myths of flooding, but it does seem universal. And it says that from Africa, as well as the Yoruba people, the Kwaya, Mbuti, Maasai, Mandin, and Egyptian people all have flood myths.
And I think it's very interesting that out of everything we've found so far, most that we've found so far, and by no means have we looked into every myth from every culture of this kind, it does seem to be that there is a suggested way of cleansing and starting again. You know, in both the myth today, in Christian culture, we know that there's one in ancient Greece. The god in these stories is angry. And we can't also discount myths that are a way of explaining natural occurrences. From my research, it does seem that the Western version of the flood myth may have seeds from Mesopotamian culture.
It blew my mind when I learned there was a flood in ancient Greek mythology, because I'd always thought of it as being a real Christian idea. As that being what I was used to, I learned about the flood in the Bible first. But it is so interesting that it's something that was everywhere. And I think there's probably a lot in it that it's a way of explaining a natural thing that happens.
I agree with you. I think most likely it's that. It's a way of describing the fact that floods can have devastating effect and wipe things away. But I do find it interesting in this culture and Christian culture specifically, the god was angry and used this as a way of cleansing.
As we continue our ongoing mythological and cultural journey, it's so interesting for us that as the world opens up with more mythologies that we look into, we spot more crossover and in some cases just downright theft from one culture to another. But with this, the flood destroys and then there's a rebuilding of some sort in its aftermath. And I think that would be a really fun episode for us to do.
I think we should look into it in depth. I didn't want to get into it now because this is a mini-sode, but I do think that the more we look into it, the more we will find with crossovers and flooding and symbolism of that kind.
Definitely watch the space for us to come back and touch on that.
It'll probably be next year. Judging with how busy we've been, it'll probably be next year. I don't want to make promises, but...
No, that's why I watch the space. We have so many ideas. That's the problem. But just thank you for hanging out with us today and this very short celebration we've done for Black History Month. Follow us on Instagram at Demythifying the Podcast for more of our mythology-based content. And if you're liking what we're doing, please rate us and subscribe. Also, check out our website at www.demythpod.co.uk. We'll see you again next time and check us out wherever you get your podcasts. She's been Charlotte. I've been Lauren. And together we've been Demythifying.